The Game last night joins us, as he does each and every weekday morning at this time. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
I'm well, JR. Good morning. Hey, Sean.
Morning, Pierre.
All right, Pierre. Tampa Bay, Dallas. We'll kind of break it down in just a second, but tell us about your thoughts on the win last night by the Lightning. For my eye, they seem to pretty much carry the play most of the night. Do you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. They carried the play. They outshot the Islanders almost 2-1. They were dominant in almost every facet of the game. Big loss for the Islanders before the game even started, not having Adam Pellick. That was a big problem for them. You could see on defense, they were just running out of gas. They were running out of bodies. They were fortunate to get the first goal of the game. It was a really nice play. But, the biggest thing to me is you could just see getting Braden Point back really helped Tampa a lot. Losing Cirelli for a good portion of the second period set them back a little bit, talking about Tampa, but obviously they get him back in time for the score, the overtime winning goal. But I would say that the Islanders just obviously not as deep, not as good, and there's a problem, and the Islanders don't have Victor Hedman, and they don't have Mikhail Sergachev, and those two guys were really important last night for Tampa.
Any way to gauge, Pierre, the physical toll that Tampa took on a series like this? It was certainly a grind.
Oh, I would say that this was a very difficult road for Tampa to hoe. They didn't have to go through, even though they played overtime against Columbus, so they won that series in five games. Even though they didn't, have to go deep with the Bruins, they still had to play five games and they had overtime in that series. But this one took the most out of them. This took the biggest bite out of them. But you could see after the game, I was down on the ice and they're doing interviews, and you could see there was a quiet confidence and calm that usually for teams that, haven't won in a while, and Tampa obviously hasn't been in the finals since 2015, usually, they're all giddy and all excited and all. But these guys were happy, but they were controlled happy. There's one more step for them to go, and I think they learned their lesson last year from the Columbus series and getting swept in the first round. So I would say that even though they got a physical toll taken out of them in this series, I still think they're going to be ready to play tomorrow night here for game one of the final.
As Simmer mentioned, that was Anthony Cirelli's first point of the series. What makes him such an effective hockey player?
Well, he wins faceoffs. He kills penalties. You ask any elite player on that team, whether it's Braden Point, Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, ask them who they think the guy they have to have in the lineup all the time is, and they'll tell you Anthony Cirelli, because he does everything. He's like the Swiss Army knife. He does every little thing they ask him to do. His speed is really apparent. He can play against the other team's top players. That opens up a lot more room. He can play as a third line center, play as a first line center. He does so much. And again, he showed a lot last night. I mean, that collision he had with Anders Lee in the second period, that was really tough to watch. I mean, I'm not far away from watching that when it happens. And I'm like, oh man, this guy might have shredded his knee. And he came back and played. Did he have the same pop in his step? Absolutely not. He did not look nearly as quick, but he showed a lot of cart and a lot of courage, and he got rewarded, and so did his team.
You mentioned Islanders don't have Sergachev or Hedman. Is that their biggest need in the offseason? And would you look at a guy like a Torrey Krug as a fit for the New York Islanders?
I bet you it's somebody they're going to look at. But here's the one thing I would say about them. Adam Pellick's a really good player. I don't think he has the same offensive pop that either Hedman or Sergachev has. Ryan Pulock is a tremendous young player, and so I could put him almost on the same read as Sergachev, maybe a little bit better defensively. So they've got a little bit of that, but nobody in the league has Hedman. I mean, TV does not do that guy justice, I'm telling you. He's 6'6". He skates like he's 5'10". He's strong, as you can't believe how strong he is, just warding people off behind the play. It's amazing to watch him. His stick skills are phenomenal. He can shoot the puck through a wall. I mean, there's nobody else in the league like him, I don't think. And makes him such a weapon.
For old school hockey fans, Pierre, a little reminder of a young Larry Robinson, or I don't even say we young, middle of his career.
Yeah. No, I'd say very similar to Larry Robinson, except Larry wasn't nearly as tall as Victor Hedman.
Or when he laid out Schulte, right? We're not going to see that from Victor Hedman.
No, but I tell you one thing. I would want to get Victor Hedman mad. You know what I mean? He just, when you walk in, I don't know. Listen, NFL dressing rooms are different than NHL dressing rooms, But he's one guy from an NHL dressing room that can walk into an NFL dressing room and start putting on a uniform, and the guys wouldn't say, "Who's that guy?"
Right.
You know, he looked like he fit in with the group, if you know what I mean.
He, as they say, has a long fuse. Just back to the Islanders and on defense, they did dress Noah Dobson last night, who was their first round pick a couple of years ago. And listen, he was in and out of the lineup all year and hadn't played a lot, if at all, in the playoffs. But do you see him as a real good prospect from an offensive point of view on their defense going forward?
Yes, and he got better as the game went along because he had live legs. So in the overtime, he became pretty apparent. In the third period, he became apparent too. You can tell what the upside is for him. So that was positive. He looked a little jittery with the puck, no question about it. But a very good, I think, a tremendous prospect and a guy that is going to help him long term. Absolutely.
Interesting. Between the Rangers and Islanders, we could see four Russian goaltenders next year. Looking like Varlamov and Sorokin would be a pretty good combination from everything we hear about the young Russian coming over.
Yeah, Sorokin's good. I've seen him a lot. He's a good player. The one thing I'd say about Varlamov is I always knew he was a good player. Going back to 07, had a chance to travel around, and he was part of that Russian Super Series. And you could tell he was really dialed in. He was going to be very good. I've been really impressed with the way he carried himself out here. He's been a workhorse, obviously. And, you know, these last two games have been extended, and the penalty kills and everything else that the Islanders had to do in overtime. And he's just been really, really in charge. I've been very impressed by him.
All right, Stanley Cup Final will begin tomorrow night, Tampa Bay versus Dallas. Kind of preview from both teams' perspective, what do you think the keys to a series victory would be?
Dallas really has to get out of the box early on in the series because they do have a bit of a wounded team that they're playing against in Tampa, and they can't allow the layoff to slow them down. The one thing is they've got the four-line attack. Well, Tampa's got the four-line attack too, especially if Point is healthy and Cirelli's healthy. And I don't know whether Steven Stamkos can play or not, but him coming on the ice last night to get the Eastern Conference trophy was huge for the team, and it said a lot. He looked healthy. He looked happy. So if he could come back and play, that would make it just that much more difficult. So for Dallas, get out of the box early and establish their four-line game and stay out of the penalty box, really stay out of the penalty box. For Tampa, it's you want to play a speed game and don't turn the puck over in the neutral zone. You know, they had a lot of experience against a very difficult neutral zone team with the Islanders. Dallas is much the same. So don't turn the puck over and get to your speed game early.
Tampa has become a harder team up here. I don't think they're as heavy as Vegas. Could we see the big three on the back end for Dallas be able to maybe benefit with a little bit, I wouldn't say easier, but maybe a little more open ice against Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I would agree. No, I think that's a really good point. The big thing to me, though, for those big three you're talking about, Klingberg will be very comfortable in a speed series. Heiskanen will be very comfortable in a speed series. I count Oleksiak in this, too, because he's been really important for them with Esa Lindell. The big thing for me is whether Lindell and Oleksiak, as we go along here, are going to be able to handle the speed quotient, especially the stretch pass game of Tampa, which is really lethal. And if they can't handle that stretch pass element to the game that Tampa has, that could be problematic later on in the series. That's why I think it's really important for Dallas to get to their game early on.
Dallas will have had, I guess, by the time the game is played, four or five days, something like that, off. Is that kind of the perfect amount of time to have, you know, rest a little bit, to, you know, get the guys who are a little bit banged up a little bit of time, but not too much time where you're rusty?
Well, I think that's a fair point too, Jared. The problem is, more times than not, I would say that's a really important thing. This is a different kind of rest. This isn't like being at home or going to the Four Seasons to the spa. This is just trust me when I tell you, and this is not taking any shots at anything, but this is a different kind of rest here that compared to what you would get in a normal situation. So I don't know if anybody can equate whether this has been positive or negative for them. I just don't know, because we've never, ever gone through this before.
A little extra step, though, do you think, Pierre, for a lot of people? Just say, quite simply, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and for both teams now, fresh and have an eye on the ultimate prize?
Well, that's what everybody's saying, but we'll see whether that plays out for Tampa, because they haven't had that rest that JR was just alluding to, Sean. But I would say that, yes, that's the one focus of everybody right now is, you know, these are the two teams that have gone to the final. The Islanders are leaving early this morning. In fact, they may already be getting on their bus, I don't know, to get to the airport. But so that's, and they're going to be I was with the officials last night after the game. You know, there's going to be a major cutdown on the officials too. So they're, a lot of them are leaving today as well. So it's going to get more quiet here, I can assure you of that. Which is, again, it's positive, but it's also kind of sad. I won't pretend with you. You get to know all these people for a long period of time, and all of a sudden they just disappear, almost like in the middle of the night, and you don't see them again until whenever we have the next season. It's a really strange phenomenon. It really is.
That's an important point you raise for in most seasons, and this, again, is a playoff that's unlike any other. It is a giant feather in your cap as a referee or as a linesman to be chosen to work in the Stanley Cup Final. But as you have rightfully said, everybody's getting in close to 8 full weeks now. Are there some guys that maybe have told you privately, hey, you know what, of all the years, if I don't get chosen this year, not the end of the world. I'm ready to go home?
Honestly, no. And that was one of the most difficult parts about last night and some of the conversation, because some guys think they're out already, even though I haven't been told yet. And you know, I said, you must be happy you get to go. He goes, no, actually a couple of them said, no, I'm actually not. I invested so much time and effort into this. I want to see it through. And these are really, I told you guys early on, I was blown away by the conditioning levels. I mean, I go in the gym with these guys every day, and I'm blown away by how competitive they are and how they push one another and how they push themselves more than anything else to try to be the fittest they can be. And they really are. Compared to when I was coaching, the fitness level of the officials is phenomenal. It's just off the charts. And, you know, you got a guy like Steve Barton, who's a Hawkesbury guy, and you see Stevie and the way he prepares himself as a linesman here. Just, you know, I'm giving an Ottawa touch to it, but I'm telling you, it's just awesome. I mean, he's got so much to be proud of. All these guys do that got this far. It's just amazing.
In your opinion, who have been the best referees? Who should be chosen to work in the final?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable saying that because I've gotten to know them.
They're all friends of yours. Let me put it this way: Do you think that it's a fairly easy choice for the director of officiating to say, okay, this guy's definitely been the best. This guy's work has not been up to par. Well, is there a wide divergence of the skills at this point?
No, but I would say this. I think the best official is Wes McCauley. I'll say so if he's not here starting this afternoon, I'll be very surprised. I'll just say he's, in my opinion, he's the best referee working.
Yeah. Well, my kids love, he's the only referee they know. Number 4 is working because, of course, the 5 minutes for fighting, that guy, that will follow that guy forever. So anyway, he's the only referee that they recognize. So it's all good.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's got a daughter named Emma, who is an outstanding hockey player. And she's being very heavily recruited by a lot of U.S. college teams right now. He's a proud dad, but he comes by. And honestly, by the way, just so everybody understands, Wes McCauley was a great junior player for St. Michael's College School in Toronto. Played with a guy by the name of Eric Lindros on that team. He ended up playing at Michigan State. He was an 8th-round pick of the Detroit Red Wings. We actually, when I was at St. Lawrence, we had really, really good teams. We tried to recruit Wes to come play for us. So I've known Wes a very long time, going back to the mid-'80s. But he was an outstanding player at St. Michael's College School with Eric Lindros.
As you're talking, refs, guys, kind of raises an interesting question. I don't think we've had the same controversy, but what effect have no crowds been, especially home crowds in the playoffs, on the way the games have been officiated? I've got to think this has been a lot less mental stress in that situation for the referees.
Yeah, I never even asked them about that. That's a really good question. It's a fair point. But the one thing I'd say is the mental stress isn't so much at the rink. It's once you leave the rink. It's different, John. It's just a different way to live. And I think all of them have handled themselves fantastically well.
All right. Stanley Cup Final Game 1 will be tomorrow night. 7:30 will be the face-off time. And we'll have the game here on TSN 1200. A couple of off-the-ice stuff up here. Mm-hmm. Elliot Friedman in his 31 Thoughts column writing that he sees Florida as a potential landing spot for Mark Borowiecki. Just on Florida overall, do you think with the new general manager, Bill Zito, there will be a mandate to cut costs? And in some way, does that maybe benefit higher-priced players being moved out for a player like a Mark Borowiecki, not in terms of his play on the ice, but that he may have quite a few suitors around the NHL?
I don't know about the price point and what's going on with Florida and their ownership group and their budgets, but I can tell you this, is that they need to fix their defense. They know it internally. They know it as a coaching staff, and they need to fix their defense. I was in there to do a game with Philadelphia this year, and I could not believe how poor their defense was. That doesn't mean they have bad players. It just means that those defensemen don't all fit together. So they need to fix that. And so I don't know, again, what their price points are going to be, but he would have some value in that. If you're talking about rebuilding that defense, he would definitely have value there for sure.
You've attended many a World Junior, and the place you're at is going to be the host. I guess thoughts on, you'd know firsthand, how would this set up for a World Junior Christmas time?
It'll be perfect because they'll use the same three hotels. They'll use a JW Marriott, the Delta Suites, and the Sutton Place. They'll set the same walkways up. So it'll be just like it is now. They won't have to mess with the infrastructure. There's a practice rink right at the big rink here at Rogers Place. There's another rink they could use, which is very close by bus. I don't know what the capacity would be or the ability to do something at Northlands where the Oilers used to play, but that's not far from here either, which could be bussed over, and they have no fans coming to the game. So put it all together, I could see how this would be a very, very successful World Junior, obviously without fans, but for TV it would be tremendous, and it'd be awesome for the young players to get a chance to play in a World Junior. It's just, World Junior is an amazing, amazing opportunity for everybody that's involved.
And for guys like you that have been in the bubble for a long time, that maxing out at what, three and a half weeks, something like that, that may be the perfect amount of time, right?
Yeah, that would be actually, that would be good.
We'll leave it at that. All right, well, the end is near, but you got a cup final to look forward to. Game one on the big NBC is coming up tomorrow night. 7:30 again, the start time. Enjoy the game, Pierre, and enjoy the weekend, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again on Monday.
JR and Sean, thanks so much for an awesome week. Everybody stay safe, stay sound, and enjoy game one tomorrow night, and take care of your families, and have a blast.